helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. We've all probably seen movies where someone joyfully celebrates the death of a good person. Not the death of the bad guy, but the death of a good guy. And we almost universally hate the character for dancing on someone's grave. But what about those who take every opportunity to dance upon the graves of shooting victims, to take advantage of the pain and suffering of their families, sometimes even trotting them out to show just how righteous they are? See, frequently they even start before anything is known about the case. I don't know about you, but I find that particular character trait truly despicable. Yet here we are again, watching while people run to microphones and cameras to promote their political agenda, making grandiose claims that if only we had followed their lead, these tragedies would not have happened. There's no evidence provided, not even time to consider if their proposed agendas were even relevant. Just following the mantra of never letting a tragedy go to waste. So I would hope that, by and large, the American people were better than that. Based on recent elections, however, I'm not so sure. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me today as we look at the most recent examples of people dancing on the graves of others, and what we can learn from it, maybe what we can do to, well, not join in and participate. By now, you know that in the days before the Thanksgiving holiday, there were two mass shootings, one at a Walmart in Virginia, a second at a nightclub in Colorado. I want to start by saying I truly give my condolences to the families of the victims. They're going to go through a lot of pain, and there's absolutely nothing I can do to help that. There's nothing anybody can do to help, maybe except sit with them and put an arm in their shoulder and just let them know they're not alone. These truly are tragic events for these families, and in no way do I intend to diminish the pain that they're suffering. As a teenager, a friend of mine, his sister, committed suicide with a firearm. And it was so shocking, not just to the family. I watched what the family went through, but I knew her. She was a couple grades behind me in school. And I could not, for the life of me, fathom why she felt this was the only option, why she thought this was even an option. To this day, I have no idea what would drive her to that action. But I recognize that the problem didn't exist in her hands. In that case, the problem existed between her ears. And, I actually, years later, bumped into, she was the youngest of three. I bumped into the middle brother. It's funny to see the changes that continued even after I lost track of the family. I knew them for several years afterwards before people moved and lives changed. But it's a tragic time, whether they were the victim of someone else's violence or their own violence. Those families will never, ever, ever be the same. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are calls for vengeance and violence. I'm not surprised to see people in that situation lash out at anything to help make sense of the pain, even when there's no sense to be made. So I tend to give them some time and understand that frequently what we're dealing with is an emotional reaction. And I don't include those in the dancing on people's graves metaphor. No, I'm looking at those with an agenda that are using these opportunities. Now, for what I've found so far, the gunman in Virginia was a Walmart employee that, pardon the pun, we used to call went postal after a series of shootings in post offices from postal workers back when I was much younger. Some witnesses said that he was shooting wildly, but others said no, he was hunting. He was looking for specific people to shoot and kill and then took his own life. And of course, this happened on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving at 10:12 p.m. is when the first 911 call came in. And within minutes, the police were there, and the police chief made had a news conference. And Bates said that about 4 minutes after the officers entered the store, the scene was safe. Remember, the gunman had taken his own life. Now, according to police, the gunman, and I'm not using his name because I don't want to in any way glamorize these people, but the gunman was not known to law enforcement before the shooting. This is not someone who apparently had had contact with law enforcement, who was considered a danger, but he went on a shooting spree. Killed several people, including himself. And he ruined many lives, not just those that he killed, not just his own, but the lives of the families that were wounded, of the people who were wounded. Now, the very next day, Joe Biden came out and, well, he gave a press conference. And he talked about those families. He talked about he and his wife, Jill, grieving for those families, mourning with others across America for those who lost loved ones in the tragic shootings. Then he said, "This year I signed the most significant gun reform in generation, but that is not nearly enough. We must take greater action." So here you have bodies on the ground, and you're grieving with those families, and you want to use that opportunity of grieving families to promote an agenda. Now, I disagree with Mr. Biden's solution to gun violence. I believe there's no evidence that his actions that the actions he's been proposing would make any difference, would lead to fewer deaths, to fewer acts of violence. But that's not my point. He's using a time of grieving families to promote gun control. Imagine, and I'm thinking back to my childhood, when a friend of ours, the sister of a friend of mine, a family I had known for several years who lived just down the road from me, had lost a loved one. I don't know which would have hurt more, the death of the loved one or finding people showing up to exploit the pain of this family to promote an agenda. Let's face it. If a gunman is going to go in and shoot people up and then take his own life, we can pretty much assume there's some mental instability going on in there. I'm not a psychologist, but I would assume if he's going to take his own life, there's something in his life where he needed help. But this also shows the fallacy of background checks and red flag laws. Well, because he would have passed a background check. The police had no issue with him. There was no reason that I know of why he wouldn't, you know, at least not that I've seen so far. Maybe there is. But there's, you know, you cannot be deprived of a right without due process. There was no due process here to have been used to deprive this man of a right. Well, if he hadn't had the gun, yeah, but how do you know ahead of time? See, it's the arrogance of hindsight. We can look back and say, well, obviously, this man did something. He must have had some issue. He shouldn't have been able, but we didn't know beforehand. Literally, in the hours and days, maybe even moments before he pulled that gun and started shooting, no one had any reason to believe he was a danger, at least that I've seen so far. But based on that, Joe Biden and plenty of others want to use this as an excuse to deprive everyday ordinary Americans, law-abiding citizens, people without problems, of exercising a right, a civil right protected by the Constitution of the United States. And of course, Biden wasn't the only one. Tim Kaine said that both Congress and the Virginia Assembly have taken steps finally to reduce gun violence. But there is so much more to do. Interesting. They only appear to be concerned about gun violence. Would they have felt better if, say, if this particular assailant had walked in and started slashing people with a knife? Or built a bomb? Or took a car and drove it into the building to run people over? Would that have made them feel better? See, I find it interesting how many people are concerned about gun violence, but not concerned about violence, period. And then the day after this announcement, Biden once again makes calls for stricter gun laws. I'm sick and tired of these shootings. We should have much stricter gun laws. Isn't that interesting? Because the cities that have the strictest gun laws also tend to have the most shootings. It's almost as if gun laws don't stop criminal activity. See, Biden called for enforcement of existing red flag laws. He said, it saves lives, so that's number one. Well, Virginia has a red flag law. They have extreme risk protection orders. Didn't do any good here. Because in order for, and besides the fact that ERPOs are unconstitutional, because they violate the right, you know, rights under the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. But they didn't do anything here. Why? Well, because this guy apparently didn't show signs. There wasn't anybody in his life that said, you know what? This man is having problems. And even if there was, so you're going to take their guns away from him. You're going to leave him the knives? You're going to leave him the ability to make explosives, to drive a vehicle? See, this is using people's pain and emotional torment to promote an agenda. Now, maybe people honestly believe that these types of gun control regimes will minimize crime, will drop violence, but I've yet to see evidence of that. Some of the best evidence I've seen said maybe in the short term there's a small dip, but for the most part, not really. In fact, in many places where these red flag and other gun control laws have been put in place, the incidence of gun violence were going down until these laws were put in place. And of course, these laws never consider the other side of the story, what Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story. Because while this man was hunting, as one witness put it, finding people to kill, there was no one there prepared to stop him. If the timeline is correct, the first call to 911 was at 10:12 p.m., which means he'd already started shooting, and someone called 911, and the police arrived 4 minutes later. 4 minutes. You can do a lot of damage with a firearm, with a sidearm, in 4 minutes, as we found out. But during those 4 minutes, there wasn't one, apparently not one person there, prepared to confront him with equal and opposite force. What would have happened if someone in this building had been carrying, had taken the time and taken some training to protect themselves and others in such a situation? Could the death count have been lower? We don't know. You can't prove a counterfactual. But I wonder how many of the Virginia laws that made it harder for law-abiding citizens to have a tool to use in self-defense made it harder, meant that there were people there that normally would have had tools to attempt to stop them. Again, counterfactual, we don't know for sure it would have worked. But I wonder how many people would have liked the opportunity to try. See, that's the other problem of dancing on people's graves for a political agenda. Is you're not only trampling the hearts and lives, you are adding to the pain of the families. But you're also telling the would-be good Samaritan that may have stepped in and done something that he or she doesn't matter. That they're evil for even wanting to try, for even wanting the opportunity to defend themselves and others. Now, if the Walmart shooting was bad, the Colorado, oh, the reaction to that was even worse. But I have to take a break first. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, this time of year, cold and flu season, it's easier to get sick. There's a lot of products out there that claim to help keep you well. Well, you see, I use Immune Super Boost from Healthy Cell. It combines over a dozen supplements into a one travel-ready gel pack that's designed to support and boost your immune system at the cellular level. It's easy to use, it's easy to carry, and it works. And you can find out more about Immune Super Boost. Go to HealthyCell.com. You'll find a bunch of products from Healthy Cell. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please, go to HealthyCell.com, check out their products, including Immune Super Boost, put your cart together, be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout, let them know you listen to America Out Loud, and you'll get 25% off your first order.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, we're covering the sad subject of dancing on other people's graves and the fact of how many people like to join in and pile on. We started talking about the shooting in Virginia at the Walmart. It's funny, they, you know, Biden's pushing for red flag laws, which I've already shown. I mean, again, they don't work all the time. They violate the Constitution. It's amazing. You'll say, if it saves just one life, but we never consider how many lives it costs. Speaking of that, what about the assault weapons ban? People love to talk about scary assault weapons. Now, I have been a gun owner my entire adult life. I grew up around guns. My father had guns in the house from before I was born. And as pretty much as soon as I was toddling, I was taught there were certain places you stay away from because that's where the guns are. And then when I was a little older, I was taught how to be safe around firearms. And I was fairly young and I was taught how to shoot. And why do I bring that up? Well, because a lot of this has to do with a misunderstanding about firearms. See, what some people call assault weapon, there's no legal definition of an assault weapon. It's a term that gets made up because it sounds scary. What's funny is assault weapon is basically anything from a squirrel gun to a hunting rifle that uses scary black plastic parts to make it look scary. That's pretty much the way that most places define them. Most people I encounter, when I ask them to identify an assault weapon, I tell the story when I used to live in New York and they were working on the so-called SAFE Act and they wanted to restrict assault weapons. I actually contacted the assemblyman who is promoting this, and I lived outside of Albany. I said, listen, when you're in Albany, I would like to invite you to a gun range, and I want to show you my point of view. You can bring as much security as you want. I will come by myself, unless we okay somebody else. Gun safety will be number one. No one will get hurt unless it's by your people. However, you want to bring in security to make you feel safe, be my guest. And the reason I did that is I own two weapons at the time. I own several weapons, but there are two at the time I wanted to show them. See, one, they were both 22 long rifles, semi-automatic rifles. The reason I call them, I call them squirrel guns because they're used for target practice and shooting squirrels and other varmints that infest different properties. Now, the only difference between these two is one had the standard plastic stock that you would expect to see. The other had what would some people call an assault weapon stock, a tactical stock, right? It looked a little more menacing. But the guns were exactly the same. They fired the same bullets at the same rate of speed with the same muzzle velocity. And I wanted him to explain to me why one of them was fine and one of them was suddenly an assault weapon. See, I study the English language, or I don't study it, but I use it a lot. Every weapon is an assault weapon. If I use it to assault someone, it's an assault weapon. It's funny, we don't talk about assault knives or assault baseball bats or assault cars. It's a word used to make people afraid. I also find it interesting that on Thanksgiving, Joe Biden's talking about an assault weapons ban when, at least in the Virginia case, he didn't use a quote-unquote assault weapon. He used a handgun. In Joe Biden's mind, quoting from him, the idea that we allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. Really? Are those, sir, the same semi-automatic weapons used to protect you and your family? Yes, because the Secret Service around you, I'm pretty sure, is carrying semi-automatic firearms, handguns. Maybe they're full automatic, maybe they are, but I bet you they're semi-automatic. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't know if they run semi-automatic or full automatic on their longer guns. I'm sure they have full automatics. But you understand what a semi-automatic firearm is. For those of you who don't, it's very simple. You pull the trigger, one round comes out. You let go of the trigger, you pull it again, another round comes out. Again, I used them on my... I still have it on squirrel guns. So I'm trying to figure out, what is so sick about a semi-automatic weapon? Imagine, Biden's thinking about it from the standpoint of, well, this man was out shooting people. But what about the person in their home that gets broken into? And they're trying to defend themselves, their family. Should they be forced to, fire one round and then reload and then fire another round and reload? Is a semi-automatic firearm really that much different than, say, a pump-action shotgun or a revolver? We've all seen the movies, right? The fake Westerns with the guy that holds the trigger and slaps the hammer to get the revolver to go bang, 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 bang. And let's face it, if you practice a pump-action shotgun is almost as fast as a semi-automatic one. Almost. But it's fear that's being instilled in these. And using these tragedies to deprive people of rights. Because to me, what is sick is not the semi-automatic weapon. It's the person using it to kill someone. See, Biden went on to say, it's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None. Not a single solitary rationale for it except profit for the gun manufacturers. Well, Mr. Biden, maybe you should open that scrambled mind of yours a bit, because I just gave you an example. Again, you're a homeowner and a gang of thugs breaks into your home. Don't you want to have the ability to fire more than one shot? Or you're driving downtown and you're stopped at a light and a gang of hooligans come and try to carjack you. Don't you want to have more than one round available? See, the argument isn't rational. But what really drove me nuts came around the Colorado shooting. Now, for those who don't know, the Colorado shooting was at an LGBT nightclub, I believe. And it took absolutely no time at all for not just politicians, but for the media and other influencers to blame every political opponent, everybody that had any questions about the LGBT agenda, to blame those people for the shooting. PBS, all right, Public Broadcasting System, blamed Governor DeSantis for the Colorado shooting. Now, was there any evidence of Governor DeSantis saying, shoot the gays? Yeah, about as much evidence as the legislation that they called the Don't Say Gay bill, which never said anything like about that. Or what about MSNBC? That despite the fact that Axios pointed out that the person that was the shooter was was non-binary, still doubled down and kept pushing an anti-trans narrative, even though there was evidence to the contrary. The sad part is how many people are watching the news and they're listening to PBS or MSNBC. And they're starting to believe, hey, wait a second. Yeah, this is Ron DeSantis' fault. This is the fault of every parent who didn't want drag queen story hour in their school. Well, simply because somebody targeted a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs. Or what about the Southern Poverty Law Center, who seems to pick any opportunity to promote the progressive agenda? And even the fact that the narrative had been debunked still promotes this agenda that, oh, no, it's all, you have to vote against the nasty Republicans because it's all their fault. And this went on and on and on. Well, just listen to some of the examples.
People should be able to live their lives without fear of being murdered, literally. But right now, that's the sort of climate that's been created by anti-LGBTQ protesters and, frankly, bigots.
And you can't take part in this continued onslaught of words against the LGBTQ community and not look at this and have blood on your hands.
I think that DeSantis, Boebert, they have blood on their hands on this. They have to stop spreading lies. These are lies that they're spreading, and they're causing pain and death and murder against our community.
If he's a consumer of the people we just rattled off, from Lauren Boebert to Tucker Carlson, let's get it out. Let's get it out at trial. Let's expose it for what it is, name it and shame it. He's a consumer of these people, and those people should face civil consequences from the victims.
Now, that's a section of a supercuts by Tom Elliott that I found up on Grabian. And look what they're saying. If you disagree with us, well, you're responsible for what everybody does that we don't like. I mean, again, this is using a tragedy in Colorado to shame people into silence. You are not allowed to disagree with us because that's promoting violence. I won't even get into the hypocrisy of the subject, but I want you to stop and think about that. See, this is not, I can't say it isn't. I don't believe most of the people here actually believe that people who disagree with the LGBT agenda are calling for violence because they provide no evidence of it. But anybody that disagrees with them, suddenly that's considered violence. That's encouraging violence. Now, again, that was only part of the supercut. Maybe I'll get to some more later in the episode. But I want you to stop and really realize that this is not, hey, this person had a problem. It's not that this person went out and did something. No. We have to blame our political opponents. Because you notice, they're not talking about the actual shooter. No. They're focusing on the DeSantis's, the Tuckers, the Boberts, the people who are disagreeing with their agenda. They're the ones that are that they're focusing on. In other words, they're taking this tragedy in a nightclub in Colorado, and they're using it to make political points. Now, if that's not dancing on the graves of the victims, I'm not sure what is. But that's what some of this discourse has become, has fallen into. And as even more evidence, look what happened. See, when it came out that the shooter in Colorado is quote-unquote non-binary, I have no idea what non-binary is, but apparently that means he's part of this LGBTQ community. So now all of these, well, not all of these, NBC, right? NBC, who'd been touting this, we have to go after these people because it's, we have to go after the DeSantis's for disagreeing with us because it led this person to violence. Suddenly they stopped talking about it. And isn't it interesting? They stopped talking about it right after the news came out. I believe Fox News first reported this, that the lawyer for the shooter says the shooter is non-binary. And then, of course, wasn't too long before ABC's Good Morning America simply ignored that inconvenient truth from all of their reporting. Now, let's look at the other side of that coin. Yes, unstable people can take statements and use them to do unstable things. It's one of the arguments about violent video games. Everyone says, well, look at all the people who play violent video games and they don't become violent people. True, but then again, violent video games are often the trigger for unstable people to do violent things. So it's quite possible for someone, an unstable person, I'm not saying these people are unstable, I would kind of assume that based on their actions, but to take a statement and use that to come to an unstable decision and do unstable things. Does that mean that people should be silenced because someone might do something bad? Should I be silenced from pointing out that the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed because someone might take that as an excuse to go out and shoot people? See, that's the problem with punishing the innocent because of the acts of the guilty. See, we're not supposed to do that in this country. That's why we have these things called rights. It's why our Constitution recognizes our rights and prohibits the infringement on our rights. Now, again, what happened to those poor victims is terrible. The fact that the person used a gun to do it, to me, doesn't make the crime any worse. And it doesn't shift the blame. The blame remains with the person who made the unstable act. You know, it seems there's been this push for decades now to avoid the consequences of our actions. To blame someone is never my fault. Reminds me of Han Solo, right? Was his line in the first, the three original movies, It's not my fault. That kind of seems to be the cry of the American people. It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's not the shooter's fault for shooting up people. No, it's DeSantis's fault for talking about it, or Boebert's fault, or Tucker Carlson for actually reporting on this. No, it is his fault. And unless you can show that the people you're accusing actually called for violence, then what you're doing is defamation. You're lying about people. And I wonder, will someday somebody say, well, go after a reporter because they were lying about somebody and use that as an excuse to get away with murder? See, that's the problem. Truth is a two-edged sword, and it cuts deep. But to use the death of these people to shut up your opponents, to get your opponents to try to shame them into silence, well, to me, that's despicable. If you had an argument, you wouldn't need to use the lives of victims to make your point. And I want to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Before I do, please head to AmericaOutloud.com. There are plenty of voices with lots of different information, and you can find lots of news and other happenings on that site. See, it's important we do our job, that we share the stories, both the ones that shame others and the ones that inform others. So take the articles, the podcasts, the videos, the stories, share them far, share them wide, so that we can all help to secure the blessings of liberty.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Today, no, we're talking about dancing on people's graves. We're talking about using tragedy to advance a political agenda. Now, by now, you've probably heard about the shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs. And, of course, took no time at all for people to jump onto that and promote an agenda. And, of course, you can't have an agenda nowadays, it seems, without talking about drag queens. So here's some more of that supercut, the Grabian supercut by Tom Elliott.
You are seeing a Republican Party that is targeting, you know, a lot of drag queens and LGBTQ. And this is not an accident, right? There's a lot of targeting.
They targeted drag shows a lot, and in part because Drag Time Story Hour, where a drag queen would come, it was ubiquitous in libraries all over the country, had it. A drag queen would come read a story. It was fun. The kids loved it. And then also some sort of friendly drag shows. It would be on a Sunday brunch. You could bring the kids. They'd see a show. And the far-right conservatives left on this.
In the past year, we've seen 125 either violent attacks or threats of violent attacks against drag events, joyous drag events.
Now, isn't that interesting? See, they talk about, well, as you got drag queen story hour. Excuse me, there are people that do not believe it's appropriate to have a hyper-sexualized dude dressed up as a girl as an appropriate speaker for young children. Then they talked about, they had the story. Of course, then you had the drag queen events. Again, hyper-sexualized men dressed up as ladies, fishnets, booty shorts, tube tops with fake breasts, dancing and performing for children, many of them under 10 years of age. And the fact that people disagreed with this, it says, no, we don't want our children sexualized this way. Now, all of a sudden, that gets linked with, well, violence. See, it's that attitude. They've been going after these people. That's why this guy attacked. Oh yeah, you know, they've been using this language, and that's driving people to act this way. Well, then some very inconvenient information showed up.
Attorneys for the accused shooter say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary. In a footnote to a motion asserting legal privileges, the public defenders say, quote, is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as mix. So in other words, not Mr. or Ms. Joining me now, CNN political commentator Errol Lewis, also back with me, Al Franken and Joe Walsh. I don't know what to say about that.
I know what to say about that. So, well, this was Allison Camerota. She was hosting a panel on CNN tonight. And when the court filing came out that the shooter was non-binary, and you may have noticed I edited out his name. Again, I don't want to give them any promotion, any advertisement. That's why I did edit out their name, the shooter's name. But what do you say about that? I say, what does it matter? Does it matter that this person is confused about his gender? Does it mean that all of these attacks on other people, on Republicans, on conservatives, on parents that disagree, that don't want their children sexualized, is now should be apologized for? Oh, he's non-binary. It wasn't a Republican attack. It wasn't him listening to, you know, DeSantis and all the others. No. I don't know. What it does tell me is this has nothing to do with the shooting. This has everything to do, the reporting has everything to do with promoting an agenda and trying to find ways to silence their opponents. And there's some more examples from the Tom Elliott supercut.
This exact same language of grooming and pedophilia targeting the LGBTQ community, it kills.
When you demonize someone to that extent and you make them feel like an existential threat to you and your children, it's no wonder, again, that we get this kind of violence.
So wait a second. When you're seeing children being groomed into sexualized objects, when you do see people preying sexually on our children, we shouldn't say anything because somebody might get the wrong idea and commit violence? When we point out that schools and others that are indoctrinating our children to be sexualized objects is a threat to their health, we shouldn't say anything because, well, it disagrees with the current political preferences, at least of the media. Some people went even farther.
And when you start throwing verbal bombs around, there's going to be casualties. And I don't want to hear those people who are saying those things say thoughts and prayers, because they're the ones who are inciting a lot of this and emboldening the people who have these hateful thoughts.
Oh, so now disagreeing with someone is throwing verbal bombs. That's what debate has become in America today. And I love this person demonizing others and saying, how dare you say thoughts and prayers for demonizing people while they're demonizing people who disagree with them. See, this is how silence is generated. So you've talked about cancel culture before. This is part of it. And this has been going on a lot longer than what we currently call cancel culture. The idea that you're not allowed to express an opinion that disagrees with whatever is currently being promoted because that's considered violence. And anything they can link to that, well, it's your fault for mentioning it. How dare you mention it. Oh, by the way, yeah, he's non-binary. He's part of the group you say we are vilifying. And just as a final capstone on this, NBC has a reporter that he says is on the disinformation beat, Mr. Ben Collins. Now, what I find most interesting is just after the mass shooting in Colorado Springs, before much, if anything, was known about the shooter, well, he was already out pointing at, you know, Matt Walsh and Chris Arufo and basically anybody who doesn't want their daughters showering with boys as of metaphorically pulling the trigger themselves due to their hate speech. But it didn't matter. See, before anything was known, he goes running onto MSNBC as a supposed expert on the internet, and he describes how conservatives inspired the hate and the critics of the drag queen story. It was all their fault. Apparently, this expert on the internet missed the fact that the guy had been bullied online for being gay. Perhaps it didn't matter because it didn't fulfill his narrative that it's all the Republicans' fault.
There is no inward reflection here. It's just, you know, continue to use these people as props. Continue to use the grief of these people as props. I think as reporters, we got to look in here and double down.
So I agree with his closing statement, with Mr. Collins' statement just then. Yes, it is essential for the so-called journalists, for the media, to look inward, to double down on the truth, not on the propaganda. What happened in Colorado Springs was a tragedy for many families. The fact that this man had been bullied online for being gay, well, it's bad. We've been bullied, but people have been bullying for years. It's almost a rite of passage in most public schools. Just happened to this one, happened to be online. Turns out it had nothing to do with Tucker Carlson or Matt Walsh or anyone else. At least anyone that said, you know what? How about we let parents decide what is appropriate for their children? How about we focus on the people, the disturbed people that are committing these crimes, rather than blaming the people who are pointing out the issues with this agenda of having men in fishnet stockings and booty shorts shaking their fake breasts in front of small children in an attempt to, what, sexually excite them? I find that disgusting. Most Americans do. It's one of the reasons why I keep saying we need to not depend on media because they're misrepresenting the information. Not all of them and not all the time. But we must trust but verify. And that is, to me, the answer. How do you deal with this? We starve them. Starve NBC. Starve MSNBC. Starve every one of these journalists that attack their political opponents for something they did not do. Unless you show evidence that they incited someone to violence, that they encouraged violence, it is not their fault any more than it is your fault should someone take some of your fiery rhetoric that these people need to be shut down, that they need to be investigated, that they need to be held accountable, and uses that as an excuse to go out and shoot Republicans. It's interesting when you see the actual calls for violence from some on the progressive left. They go unchallenged. So yes, I will offer my thoughts and my prayers to the families of the victims of both shootings, whether they were their family member was wounded or killed. Because I believe in thoughts and prayers. I believe the only thing I can do to help them is somehow let them know they're not alone. And that someday it won't hurt so much. Because I disagree with violence. And I've never encouraged anyone to violently attack those we politically disagree with. I've never used a terrible situation like this as a political tool. So the fact that someone believes I should not have the right to offer thoughts and prayers to people because I disagree with them shows the hateful rhetoric they feel towards me. I didn't, you know, even though I didn't call for any violence, I never suggested that violence was a solution to this. But I'm not surprised that there are people that will use these tragedies for their own political agenda. I find that shameful. I find that disgusting. But I believe we live in a free country, which means they have every right to spew their hatred. I don't have to listen to them. Neither do you. So that's the interesting thing. If we stopped paying attention to these, if we stopped treating this like driving by an accident on the motorway where everybody has to slow down and look, if we stopped looking, it wouldn't matter anymore. Starve them of attention, you starve them of advertising. You starve them of advertising, that starves the networks of money, and eventually the networks will learn the lesson, or they go out of business. I don't care which. But the main reason I don't want to shut them up is that because I want you, the American consumer of media, to see just how vile and disgusting some of these people can be. Not just the politicians, not just the mediaites, but some of the American people in general. I remember talking quite a while back with a former work associate. And it was interesting because we got into a discussion about assault weapons, or at least what he refers to as an assault weapon. And the discussion went every attempt to simply shut me down, not to argue the point of what makes it so evil because it's got a folding stock on it, or because it's got a pistol grip. What makes it so evil? And why do we ignore the evil in the heart of the people pulling the trigger? His argument was to simply shout down anything I had to say. It's not the first time. Doubt it'll be the last time. But it reminds me that if all they have is name calling, it means they don't really have an argument. See, if they had evidence that any of the people they were accusing actually called for violence, it would be all over their news program. They don't. What's the old line? If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS. That's what this is. It's what Biden uses when he's trying to promote his assault weapons ban. It's what the media people have been using to vilify those they disagree with politically. They can't dazzle you with evidence. All they can do is baffle you with BS. Are you baffled? Or are you awake? Are you aware of their desperate measures? And see it for what it is. They don't have an argument. They don't have evidence. They have no proof. All they have is rhetoric. All they have is propaganda. And the only way that works is if they can shut up the other side, which is all this is. Well, except for Biden, who's actually going to try and get legislation pushed. But that violates the Constitution, which means it's void. So what? We shouldn't really care about it, except for the fact that we keep hiring people that pretend illegal actions are actually viable. So that's why it's so important to understand. It's so important to read and study the Constitution, to have an understanding of what it says, to have an understanding of what our founders created, and be able to defend and assert your rights. Listen, you don't want to deal with semi-automatic weapons, you don't have to. But the owning and possession of a semi-automatic weapon is not a crime until it is used to violate the rights of someone else. And for all those who think we can stop the evil in man by banning certain weapons, well, it's been shown to be a fool's errand. It's been shown for decades that these laws don't work. Just look at Chicago or New York or any of the other big cities with all these laws and all that crime. And you know what Albert Einstein said about doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome? Yeah, it's called insanity. And if you think you're just going to wait around and government will protect you, well, remember those 4 minutes. The 4 minutes from the time that the people in Walmart called the government for help until the men with guns actually showed up. Those 4 minutes must have seemed like four eternities for the terrified people in that store. I pray you never have to experience such a situation. I also pray that if, God forbid, you are in such a situation, there is someone there to help, and that person is armed. And I don't care if they work for the government or not. Now, please do me a favor and let people know that they can hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Can't listen live? You can listen to my shows on podcast. Typically, they go to podcasts a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app. You can find all the links at the homepage of AmericaOutLoud.com. Share them so that we can all spread the blessings of liberty.